السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی ور ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ امپورٹنس آف کیپنگ دا چلڈرن کلین اینڈ ٹائیڈی. سو اے فیو گائیڈ لائنز آر گیون ہیئر وچ مے ساؤنڈ ویری ویری بیسک، بٹ اٹ از سم تھنگ دیٹ وی شوڈ آلویز بی ان مائنڈ اینڈ ٹرائی ٹو ایکٹ اپون. Every mother should adhere to the following guidelines. Number one, bath the children at least twice daily during the summer months. Now look, our country is not a very hot country. We have our few hot months in the year, two or three months of the year which are very hot. The rest of the year we don't have a very hot climate. So a person will have to look at the climate of his or her country. If it is a hot climate and the child has been playing outside and the child is sweaty and dirty and all of that, then the child will have to be given a bath twice daily. But for example, if it's cold, it's winter, like sometimes our winters get very cold, sometimes you have to skip a day. Don't bath the child every day, the child can get sick. Right? So the main thing is that the child mustn't become unhygienic and dirty. Number two, change the children when their clothing becomes soiled. Don't leave a child with dirty clothing. Child is dirty, change the clothes. Now here again, I explain this, it mustn't be an obsession that the child is busy playing outside. Now you know the child is going to be outside for 2-3 hours. Now after 1 hour you went, hey you dirty, come let me change you. Now in that 3 hours you finish change 3 outfits. So it doesn't work that way. For example, you know the child is going outside to play. The child is going to be outside for 2-3 hours. Now when the child finished playing after the 3 hours, now take the child, bath the child, change the child. Number three, never allow the children to get used to being dirty or shabby. One is we must keep our children clean. Over and above that, we must inculcate this in them. Always be behind them. Neaten up your room. Don't throw your clothes on the floor. Take your dirty clothes, put it in the washing basket, you know. Keep teaching the child to be clean, neat and tidy. Do not delay in washing the children's soiled linen. Never allow any soiled linen or garments to stay in the house, because these things allow the shayateen an opportunity to occupy the house and cause dissent and problems. Right? Napaki, najasat, etc. This attracts devils and shayateen. So we must get these things washed up quickly. One should therefore not suffice by merely allowing linen or garments to dry after a child has urinated on them. One must ensure that these are thoroughly washed. For further details on this subject, one should refer to books dealing with the Islamic upbringing of children. Every mother should devote all her attention to the upbringing of her children. If she has the means, she should hire a servant to attend to the domestic chores while she gives her undivided attention to the children. Right? So if a lady didn't have a maid and if they can afford it, then rather employ a full-time maid. The maid can wash the dishes, look, you know, clean the house, etc. And the mother can give all her attention to her child. Mothers should also ensure that every child is not born too soon after another, so that each child can be given due attention. Now look, this is out of the control of the mother. Right? This is out of the control of the mother. I mean, you don't know when Allah Pak has decreed that you are going to have a child. Right? If Allah Pak has decreed that in the first year of your marriage you're going to have a child, in the second year of your marriage, you're going to have a child. So this is Allah Pak's decree, it's Allah Pak's will. We can't stop it, right? And a person cannot go on to contraceptives just to space out children, right? This is impermissible. It's not allowed in Islam that just because you want to space out the children, you're going on to contraceptives. Yes, if it is a health problem, then that's a different issue. You've got to find out, get a fatwa at that time, okay? Together with ensuring that there is no deficiency in the child's physical and educational instruction, care should be taken that the child's spiritual instruction also received special attention. By having several children in rapid succession, the mother becomes weak and the children are also born physically weak. Now look, I don't really agree with all of this. Right? I don't really agree with this paragraph here, because Allah Pak knows best. I mean, they have been people who were born 5 years apart and they're born with abnormalities and disabilities. And there are children who were born every year in succession, 2-3 children were born, and they are hale, healthy and hearty. Right? So this, as I said, it is the will of Allah Pak when He wants to give children. It's not in the control of a mother. Right? And a lady can never ever go on to contraceptives without informing her husband. Right? Number one, if you want to go on contraceptives, you have to have a Shari'i reason to go on to contraceptives. Right? Number two, you must get a fatwa and all of that. And it can't be done without the knowledge of the husband. The husband has to know what is going on. Right? That is amanat. Now, sometimes there are people who want to have children, and for so many years they are not blessed with any children. And there are others who Allah Pak just gives them children. So this, I don't really agree with what is being written in this particular paragraph. Okay. Now I want you to come to... They are mentioning here that experienced muftis, they're telling you here now, family planning is not permissible when the parents are doing it out of fear of poverty, right? And of course, permanent methods of contraception are permissible only under special circumstances. So these things, for example, if a lady is told by her doctor that your womb is very weak, right? You can't have another child now. You have to give it 2 years and 3 years before you have your next child. So in those type of situations, the lady must consult a muttaqi doctor and then consult a mufti, present her case to the mufti, right? And then after that, if they give her a fatwa stating that no, in your case, you rather go on to some type of temporary contraception, and after 2 years, 3 years, then only you have the next child. Then sometimes there is a situation where a lady has got a medical problem whereby if she has to fall pregnant again, it will be of a risk to her life or the child's life. And she is told by muttaqi doctors that, look, it's absolutely not advisable for you now to have another child. Then she must get a fatwa from a mufti. And then if, you know, the fatwa also tells her that, look, no, you mustn't have children anymore, then she can even look at some permanent type of sterilization or something like that. But every case will be taken individually. Every case will be taken individually. The mufti will study the case, and then the mufti will give his fatwa with what that lady should do. And whatever fatwa we get from a reputable, reliable, good muttaqi mufti, then that is a fatwa that we make amal upon. Right? But just this family planning that, no, I think I only want 2 children, and you know what, we just got a 2-bedroom flat here, so we got no place for more children here. Or you know what, if I'm going to have more children, then I can't go back to work and this and that. So all that is impermissible. You can't do things like that. Right? Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There are a few poems here, right? A few poems by Ibrahim bin Salih, right? Concerning the upbringing of children, which you can read on your own. Now we move on to using perfume for the husband. We are on page 356, subheading there, using perfume for the husband. A woman should regularly apply a perfume that her husband likes, because perfume makes her more attractive and enhances their love. It is effective in dispelling any animosity that may exist between the couple. Perfume creates a sense of vigor, and it is also pleasing to the malaika. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam also loved perfumes. One of the things that he loved of this world was perfume. Just as eyes are messengers of the heart, which have direct access to the heart, the nose also shares the same privilege. Therefore, when a person sees or smells something pleasant, he takes an immediate liking to it. On the other hand, when he sees something unpleasant, like the sight of his shabby wife, he develops an immediate feeling of aversion. It is for this reason that wise women are always cautious that their husbands should never see them unkempt, and that their husbands should never smell an unpleasant odor from them. Now, with regards to these things, I mentioned it, I don't know how many times, that the woman of today got it all upside down. In front of their husbands, they don't care. Their hair is not combed, they are smelling untidy, they're wearing that same nighty all day, right? And his husband has to ask also, hey, you know, you haven't dressed up today. Where's the time? Where's the time? They got, where's the time? But time for BB we got. Time for making punch out on the phone we got. But we got no time to go have a bath and get into a nice decent set of clothing. Right? Now, both these things are important. Appearance and smell. Right? If a person is dressed up, all smart, everything, hair is combed, everything, mendi on the fingers and all that, but a person is stinking, you're not going to be attracted to that person. You want to sit next to that person. The person can be wearing the most expensive, trying to think of some fashion names, right? YSL or Gucci or I don't know what and what, can be wearing the most expensive garments, right? With the most expensive jewelry, but if the person is stinking, you don't want to be around that person. And on the other hand, if a person is smelling nice, but untidy, hair is not combed, nails are not paired, clothing is crumpled, right? Then too, I mean, it's like a put-off. You don't want to be near that person. So appearance is important, and how, what odor is emanating from our bodies, this is also important. Perfume has such an attraction that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited women from leaving the home after applying perfume. This is because the perfume will attract men. This is natural that a person gets attracted to a good smell. Now, if you're going to put perfume, strong perfume, and leave the house, then the wrong men are going to get attracted to you. But if you use the perfume within your home, then your husband will be attracted to you. While men's perfume has a strong smell, women's perfume ought to have a light fragrance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the things of this world that he liked most were his wives, the Honorable Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in. Perfume was the second thing, and salah, which was the coolness of his eyes. These were the three things that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved most of this dunya. Women should not apply perfume at all when leaving their homes for any purpose whatsoever, because the fragrance of their perfume may attract non-mahram men. This is what I was saying. We got it upside down. In the house, we're not worried about what we smell like, what we look like. But when we're leaving the house, then all those small, smart cloaks come out of the cupboard, and the jewelry and the perfume and the eyeliners and all these things. This is wrong. She may apply perfume only at home for the pleasure of her husband. As mentioned earlier, the best perfume is water, because regular washing, making wudu, bathing, and paying attention to one's oral hygiene will ensure that no foul odors leave the body. Women should be especially particular about applying perfume during the periods of the month when they are not reading. When a lady is in a state of najasat, during those days also, she must ensure that she applies perfume on her body. Now, you know, a lady is going to sleep, right? Now look at the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when we wake up, use a miswak. Before going to sleep, use a miswak, right? Now you eat something, your mouth is smelling like garlic, and now you go to sleep like that. There is a foul smell coming out of your mouth. Now how do you expect the husband now to be close to his wife when her mouth is stinking? So it should be our habit, not only because the dentist told us, this is our deen. Before we go to bed, brush our teeth, ensure that there is a good smell coming out of our mouth. Apply some perfume. Today's times you got all these roll-ons and sprays and whatever. Comb the hair nicely. Wear a decent sleeping garment and then go to sleep in a nice way, neatly. Now the husband sees his wife like that, it gives him pleasure. In the morning when he wakes up and he sees his wife, it gives him pleasure. Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that a woman once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the method of taking a fard ghusl. After explaining the procedure to her, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added, then purify yourself with a swab of musk. Now this lady, she couldn't understand the hint that she must apply musk to her body. Right? So she kept on repeating this question. And then Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala anha took her one side and explained to her what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant by applying musk to her body. By applying perfume regularly, a woman can strengthen the love between her and her husband. May Allah Ta'ala make the use of perfume a common feature in every Muslim home and free every home from physical and spiritual filth. Ameen. It is also important for the wife to ensure that their bedroom always has a pleasant fragrance. The bedroom also must have a nice smell. Not that the bedroom must be untidy, the bedroom must have a stale smell. The lady sometime in the afternoon, she's having her siesta, right? She's having her afternoon nap. Now she wakes up, she leaves that duvet crumpled. She doesn't worry about airing the room out, putting some scent in the room. She doesn't worry about these things. Now the husband comes in the evening to the room. The room is untidy. The duvet is all crumpled. The room got a stale smell. This is no good. A bed must always be made. A room must have a fresh smell. Have some, if you don't like oud, you feel it's a bit too strong, you get other fragrances that can be applied in the room. A wife should also apply perfume on her husband. She must put perfume on her husband. Not her perfume now, men's itar. Because this was one of the sunnah practices. By doing this, their love will grow. And they will earn the rewards of practicing the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala says, I applied the best perfume I could find to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he entered into the state of ihram. This means just before making the niyyah for ihram. Because after you make the niyyah of ihram, then you cannot apply itar. Right? But before that, she applied itar to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to another narration, she said, I personally applied perfume to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he entered into ihram. When Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala anha was going through her stage in the month when she couldn't read salah and she couldn't enter the masjid, while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in itikaf. Now in those days, ladies used to come to the masjid. There was no fitna, right? So, but now she couldn't go in the masjid because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in itikaf and she is in her hayd, so she can't enter the masjid. So, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do? He would lean his mubarak head into her room because her room was adjacent to the masjid. So he would just put that window is still there. The place, not the exact window, but the place where Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make his itikaf and where he used to lean his head into the room of Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala anha then used to wash Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hair, comb his hair, apply oil to his Mubarak hair. Today, which lady is interested in doing these things? She's only worried about shopping. She gets tired shopping. And she's an anima, she is teaching, morning till evening she is teaching. In the evening she is very tired, she has to make mutala. She got no time to sit and make amal on all these sunnats. These are also sunnats. These ahadiths teach us how a woman can express her affection for her husband. It is therefore wise for a woman to sometimes apply perfume to her husband's body and clothing, especially before the Jummah Salah or even before other Faraz Salahs. You know, so many men complain in today's times. Mawana, she doesn't even give me breakfast. When I leave the house to go teaching or to go to work or whatever, she's sleeping. She is sleeping. She doesn't even give me breakfast. You know, a lady should be awake. Feed her husband. Make sure he's dressed well. Give him that time of day. Show him that you are interested in him. Walk him till the door. Give him a kiss on his cheek. I'm going to miss you. See you later. Read the dua. Astaghfirullah. Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. And then see your husband off. Wave at him. And then let him go. Today's ladies, they are sleeping. Husband is gone to work. They are still having a snooze. This is incorrect. So especially before the Jummah Salah, she should put the itar for her husband. Make sure that he is dressed well. She will also be rewarded for practicing a sunnah if she combs his hair. At least once in her lifetime, she should practice the sunnah of washing her husband's hair. By doing these things, inshallah, the couple will also share the same strong bond of love that existed between Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we come to the next section here, which is honeymoons. Right? This year all of you'll want to read, but you'll have to wait till tomorrow now, right? We're not going to do it today. Honeymoons, we'll start with honeymoons tomorrow. Khair, we'll stop here. Allah Pak give us tawfiq to understand and to make amal. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.